This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Today's going to be a little bit of a different day because I have to get out of here after the first hour. So Jeffrey is going to take over, and I'll be here for the first hour. We'll talk about a whole manner, a bunch of stuff. Second hour on Thursdays is appointment listening because we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock tonight. The Grizzlies play the Kings here in Memphis, and Chris has a mailbag over at the Daily Memphian, which is wildly entertaining, and I would urge you to read. Both insightful and entertaining, insightful on the subject of the Grizzlies, but then he talks about Christmas movies and all other kind of stuff. So you can you'll be able to hear Chris straight up at 10 o'clock. And then it is Thursday, and on Thursday we do Writer Than Write Trivia. Normally, I'm a little bit the ringleader, but I hand things over to Kevin Cerrito, and Jeffrey, of course, is the star of the show. Jeffrey, who's, I think, reasserted his dominance of late in Writer Than Write Trivia, and although I won't be here, the show must go on, and the critical participants, Kevin Cerrito and Jeffrey Wright, are here. And so the show will go on, along with some lucky contestant who only has to play honorably in order to win our fabulous prize. Jeffrey, what's our fabulous prize?
Jeff, we have two tickets to go see Drew and Ellie Holcomb's Neighborly Christmas. It's at the nice Orpheum Theater, December the 18th. Also, I presume we will also have some 901 wrestling passes for the first show of 2025. That will be on January 5th, 2025.
Well, that's a festive prize package. And so all that will proceed in the second hour after I get out of here. I'm going to try to squeeze as much as possible into the first hour. Yesterday was, as those paying attention, normally we have Sam Hardiman on Wednesdays, but Sam was, the excuse was that he was busy. And it turned out Sam was busy because yesterday in the real world was just a, both locally and nationally, was a stunning day of news. You had locally, Sam and Sophia over at the Daily Memphian broke the news about the continuing expansion of the XAI project here. They're going evidently from 200,000 of those NVIDIA chips,
yep,
to 1 million. And in addition, it appears, I don't know if there was a degree of certitude, but in both, but NVIDIA, Dell, and others are contemplating manufacturing facilities in Memphis. And Supermicro, I think, is another one. And so they're contemplating manufacturing facilities in Memphis. Listen, there's all kinds of interesting nuances here. I'd urge you to read Sam's piece about the power issues and the power supply issues, which he addresses directly in a piece that just went up today, I believe. But in terms of creating more business activity in Memphis, seems like a good thing, provided, of course, that things like power, our environment, et cetera, can
well,
be,
and it sounds like some of these,
assured.
Some of these, rather than what we saw with X and the AI, like there wasn't a ton of
people jobs. Yes,
but if we're getting manufacturing, all
exactly.
that'd be fabulous.
If you have actual manufacturing facilities to go along with it, that would be fabulous. That would be some good news. We also had the news, and there are press conferences ongoing right now about the Department of Justice investigation into the Memphis Police Department. I think the initial news was that the city has told the Department of Justice that they will not enter into a consent decree involving how to make sure that the police department is just and fair and does not discriminate. And that sort of anticipated the report that followed and, in fact, has followed, which is the Department of Justice, in the wake of the Tyre Nichols murder, launched an investigation in which they found that the Memphis Police Department discriminates against black people and discriminates against those who are mentally handicapped or impaired. And so those are the findings of the Department of Justice. I don't think, I'll be honest, any surprise there. You can read the details of what they discovered over at the Daily Memphian. What very clearly, though, is playing out here is that normally an investigation would take longer than 17 months, right? What has happened is, and I don't know if you were aware of this when it happened, there's been a national election, Jeffrey.
Oh, I heard.
Yeah. And so the Biden Justice Department is one thing. The Trump Justice Department is another thing. And the feeling is that the Trump Justice Department won't have much interest in a consent decree, necessarily. Consent decree, by the way, is when the police department will say, or the city will say, listen, we agree to do these things, and there will be paid observers that will be paid, by the way, by the city, and there will be a judge that will oversee the consent decree, and so it'll be monitored to see if the police department is actually doing all these things. We agree on these 10 things or however many things we have to do in order to have a better, more just, more equitable police department. And then there's monitors paid for by the city who make sure it's happened and it's overseen by a judge, et cetera. Well, here's the truth. City's not that interested in that, in paying for it or in being that closely monitored. And so it appears from my seat, and again, I'm not listening to these press conferences. We'll have more over at the Daily Memphian. You can follow it. It appears that they're just waiting out the Biden Justice Department and waiting for the Trump Justice Department. Now, the mayor, in a statement, said that they are committed to improving the Memphis Police Department, and let's hope that they are. So that is playing out today. So we had the news from XAI. We have the continuing news from the Justice Department about Memphis police. And then we had the just horrifying / riveting / whatever story about the insurance executive, Brian Thompson, who was, let's be clear, assassinated. Isn't that how you would phrase it?
He's murdered in cold blood.
He was just murdered in cold blood, targeted in New York City. He was at an investor conference. He is the CEO of a major health insurer.
United Healthcare.
And did you actually watch the video?
Yeah, I've seen. Well, whatever. I saw the one where from like the behind view. Whatever.
So it looked like actually walked up and just hit him and just shot him. Just shot him in the back.
Yeah.
And now we have the additional report that It is interesting. My instinct, Charles, when this story popped up, I was texting Charles Fishman about it. And I said, wonder if it's someone who's denied insurance. That was my first thought. Someone who had been denied insurance.
Sure.
And now there are reports that written on the bullets were the words deny, defend, and depose written on various shell casings or bullets, whatever. Now, I guess they're not bullets. And so there is a book about how insurance companies stiff their subscribers or their customers. And the book is called Delay, Deny, Defend. That's the book about how insurance companies screw you, right? And so evidently, according to multiple reports now, written on the bullets were deny, defend, and depose. Those were words that were written on bullets that were left behind by the murderer. It's one of these stories, like, people are killed in this country all the time. And so you wonder, why did we cover this one and not that one, whatever? Well, it's a prominent executive in Midtown, you know, in the middle of New York City, who was assassinated. It's on video. Like,
That's
it had all the elements. And then if you go to social media and type in his name, there is 9 out of 10 comments are, let's be clear, wildly insensitive comments about his murder. Jokes, right? Jokes along the lines of, looks like it was an out-of-network, like, murder, yeah, kind of thing, right? Like that. And yes, those are cruel, over the line, too soon, whatever, show a startling level of not given an F about the fact that he's got sons and family and whatever. But as I thought about it, that reaction, the reason there is that reaction is we all know that insurance companies screw us. We all know that insurance companies, every one of you out there, I suspect, either has or has a relative or a friend who's been in a brawl with an insurance company or has had something denied or something told us. Like, we all hate it. And that's why I'm trying to explain the reaction, because it is the overwhelming reaction on social media. And it is the overwhelming reaction because of people's experience with insurance companies. Now, mind you, the truth of the matter is, no matter, in any system of healthcare, there will be someone in the end, let's say you had single payer government healthcare,
yep,
right? Ultimately, there would be someone saying yes or no.
Yes.
Everyone doesn't get a yes all the time to everything. And so there would ultimately be someone saying no. If you listen to the stories about this, though, like, one of the things frustrating is that now know who says no to you? AI. Now AI says no to you. In insurance companies, you don't even get a real human saying no to you. And the level of denials for United Healthcare has been quite extraordinary. So anyway, that's the reaction. Do you believe they will catch this guy?
At some point,
they will, won't they?
Yeah, I've got a couple of buddies that live up in New York City. Of course, you have two sons that live in New York City, and he pointed out there was another killing recently that took a couple of days.
Yeah, it took like 31 hours or something like that. This one, they evidently have a little bit of not a full face view from a Starbucks that he went to, and there he bought two power bars, a coffee, and a water, and he tossed out the coffee and the water. They have all that stuff. Yeah. They have the burner phone, evidently. But all of that, like, it was a day yesterday, and continues to be a day. Plus, in the awkward timing award goes to the city of Memphis, which is honoring in Memphis in May, which is honoring South Korea.
Yeah.
As the honored country. Every year they honor a country with whom they have close ties or want to deepen their relationship. And this is literally within 24 hours of South Korea declaring martial law. Seems like you might have put that off for a week. Doesn't it? Doesn't it?
I mean, I guess could it also be like a show of support? Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, in the end, like, let's be real. Like, this is business development.
That's what it is. It's business development. It's a business development. And so if you postponed it, would you be flipping the bird to the people who you've been trying to cultivate, whatever? I'm sure they had to balance a lot of things there.
I feel confident in saying I bet it was considered. I bet there was consideration.
Oh, I'm sure there was consideration. And someone said, don't they watch the news? Of course they watch the news. Yep. Everyone was aware of, you know what, this is not on the same worldwide scale. But when St. Jude had to decide whether to go ahead with the Memphis, North Carolina basketball event, right after Penny fired all, you know, and the letter dropped and all that stuff, it's like, ooh, are we going to do this? Like, of course they thought about it. And then they just decided in the end, you know what they decided? I think they decided that not offending the business relationships that they were trying to cultivate by honoring South Korea were more important than putting it off.
Correct.
That's what they decided. That would be my guess. In the midst of all this, I went to last night, Idaho Presbyterian Church, where I go to church, but it's the church that's right across from Kroger in Midtown. And so if you drive down Union, you've passed it a million times, and it's honestly a beautiful, stunningly beautiful church. And
maybe the most beautiful church.
Is it, in fact? I was talking to Scott Morris yesterday. Is it the most beautiful building in Memphis?
So what else would we put into the category?
I mean, Rhodes is beautiful.
Yep. But those are buildings. The thing that I've always admired about Rhodes is the consistency of the architecture. Like, even when they put up those brand new dorms, I was talking, my aunt's a Rhodes alumni, or Southwestern for her. And I was like, man, sissy, they just put up these dorms in like 18 months and it looks like every other building. I just admire the consistency of the architecture. So I'd listen to that.
But like, there's not a particular building that you'd necessarily point to as...
I mean, churches oftentimes have beautiful architecture.
Yes.
Like Second Pres, the sanctuary at Second Pres, Holy Communion's a beautiful building. But I don't think either are as pretty and as architecturally marveling as Idlewild.
It's pretty beautiful. Anyway, they did a deal where it turns out the bell tower, you can hear the bells, the bell tower has been dark for decades. I never knew it was once illuminated. And they had a ceremony last night, and they lit up the bell tower. And in a time of Advent, when we think about light coming into this world,
the reason for the season.
And I thought about the events of yesterday, many of which were dark, and some of which were hopeful. It was really lovely to see that light. And you can see, I've tweeted out a little video of it, but if you drive down Union tonight, you can look up and see it. It's really gorgeous. Anyway, there you go. Enough of the real world.
You want to talk about real tragedies?
Uh-huh.
Letting that put back dunk at the end.
I was. Did you wager on it?
Oh, yeah.
You had wagered on it.
Oh, yeah.
You had taken Memphis to cover.
I had.
It was really
hits
something.
Hits the free throw with 5 seconds.
Memphis hits the it's an 11. An 11. The spread's 11.
Yeah, I mean, some people, John maybe had 10. Like, I think there was a 10 out there early.
And what's funny is, like, and so there you are. And this is why, the gambler's life, man. Like, first, Memphis is not going to cover.
Yeah.
They've got the ball. They're taking air out of the ball.
Well, at first, Memphis, they're up 10 in the first half. And I'm like, good. Right. All right, let's slit some throats. Let's move on. And then, ironically, someone named Al Green.
Al Green starts, right. And on the call,
that
there was a lot of love and happiness.
Wounds.
Al Green goes
I was regretting
crazy.
That being our wedding song, yeah. Everything. Like, this is like
Al
one of my dad's
Green's
all-time favorite artists.
Yeah. From everywhere. Well, and then Memphis goes up by 8, I think, midway through the second half, and it looks like, okay, fine. You know what happened then? Then they made this they made this concerted effort on a couple of trips to feed Dane Danger.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like rewarding him. But, like, hear the truth. They got great guards. If you need points, Pete, ball's in the hands of P.J. Haggerty, right?
And Tyrese Hunter.
And Tyrese Hunter.
There were 81 points scored by the Tigers. And 43 of them came from those two.
And Danger did some good things, so I'm not really throwing him under the bus. But anyway.
There was 5 minutes without scoring.
So there, yes. But there at the end, Memphis is, they're not going to cover, and they're taking the air out of the ball, but they get fouled.
Correct. I think they hit a three, and there was a corner three in there.
Yeah, by Colby Rogers.
Yeah.
So they get fouled, and all of a sudden, did they up by 12 at that point?
They were up by 12.
They were up by 12.
They were getting us to cover town.
And 5 seconds left in the game.
And so and every gambler knows this. At no point are you sitting there going, we've covered. But you're thinking, all right, the garbage three is what's going to kill me. They missed the three.
They missed the three, and he got a putback dunk.
Oh, block man. Out.
It was tough.
Play for so a full 40.
What occurred to me watching the game was, and it was funny, like yesterday we talked about whether it was a danger game. And what did Penny talk about in his story with Parth at the Daily Memphian today over and over and over again? What he talked about was, you go to Maui, you read your clippings, right? Everyone says you're great. You go to Maui, you didn't say you read your clippings. That's not
but
a thing
we know,
anymore.
We,
the modern equivalent is your phone blows up with how great you are. That's
right.
What he said.
Everybody's praising.
Everyone's texting you, you're great, you're great, you're great. You get ranked, whatever else. How are they going to react? And it's interesting because I did talk to Parth about after the game. I texted him about what he was going to write. And he said, well, like, they didn't really pass the test. It was too close. Here's the truth. They almost covered. Like, what 10-point games, this is what 10-point games look like. You know, they can be a 4-point game at some point, right, before they become a 10-point game. Like, La Tech isn't a bad team, I don't think. And Memphis won by 10 and nearly covered. It wasn't some, oh, my God. But what it showed to me was the task that is in front of the University of Memphis about never losing to bad teams. Listen, they have some opportunities coming up to score some more points. They got Clemson, they got Virginia, they got Ole Miss, they got Mississippi State. They have some big tests coming up. We'll talk about those separately. But most of their schedule is games like this, where you get no credit for winning and you get docked. It's a disaster if they lose. And the truth of the matter is it's hard to win every one of those games. It just is. Like, they really weren't in much danger of losing last night. But if Al Green had continued to hit shots, they could have. Like, you know, and you play 20 of these, and you're going to lose a couple of them. It's just, it's really an impossible thing that you are being asked to do, which is just never screw up. Never screw up. Get up for games that you really a little bit hard getting up for, and never screw up. Never have someone on the other team go for 35 on a hot night. Never have a bad shooting night. Never have a night where P.J. Haggerty doesn't hit all his foul shots. Or have a game when someone sprains an ankle or gets in foul trouble or whatever else. It's hard to do what they are going to be asked to do. They did it last night. So that was the first thing that struck me. But then the second thing and the uplifting thing was, if you are tasked with that, as they are, that is the task that is in front of them. My God, isn't it nice to have the backcourt that they have? People talk about how backcourts are the key to winning in the postseason. You know what else? They're the key to winning in the regular season.
Yeah.
They have a backcourt that is going to see them through and did again last night. P.J. Haggerty, 23 points, 6 assists, 7 steals, 5 rebounds, goes to the line, 12 out of 12.
He did his part.
He did his part. Tyrese Hunter, 20 points, 6 rebounds. Colby Rogers, another 13, including that big corner three that you talked about. So it is really tough to do what they are being asked to do. But I do think with this backcourt, they are so much better equipped to do it than maybe any team that Penny has ever had. Obviously, Kendrick was a special case, but even Kendrick, like, he was dealing with the ankle, right? Well, you know, he was, and he's one guy. Now they got two guys. I think that's what struck me. It's just, man, this is tough, but I do think that they are equipped to do it.
So, to your point, if you think about last season when they were kind of sleepwalking through some of these non-con games, the non-big ones, I felt like effort was a big problem. Last night, I did not feel like effort was a problem. I just felt like, hey, man, they
went. There wasn't one.
They
weird
went 13-23.
PJ Haggerty would occasionally give up on defense. Like, he was saving energy.
Yeah, but like, they went 13-23 from three, and it's like, okay, that is what
That's
kept
exactly
this game
right.
from being a blowout.
First half, Al Green and company went 8-13 from three.
Yes.
And the second half, they went, even when they cooled down, they went 5-10 from three.
Every single person, with the exception of Ree, was 50% or better from three.
Memphis forced 20 turnovers, which created 31 offensive points. They dominated the offensive boards, which they don't typically do. They hit free throws. They got a lot more free throws. It's funny. We were talking. No one's complaining today about free throw disparity, Jeffrey.
No, that doesn't seem to be the issue.
Today, Memphis shot 33 of them, and La Tech shot 12 of them. And so there you go. They took care of business and did not take care of Jeffrey's business.
No.
But took care of business otherwise, and they get the win. The other thing I wanted to discuss when it comes to the Tigers is, because it came up, the crowd. And over on the Facebook page, the Memphis Tiger basketball Facebook page that I visit occasionally, they were calling it pathetic, nobody here, etc. So I would ask you, Jeffrey, it's not, by the way, right now, what do we see? We see disappointing attendance for the Tigers, football Tigers, basketball Tigers. We see disappointing attendance for the football Tigers. We see disappointing attendance for the Redbirds. We see disappointing attendance for 901 FC before they left. We see disappointing attendance for the Showboats. We see disappointing attendance. Honestly, look at the Grizzlies. They're not, like, crushing it either.
I think it's been trending up. On Sunday, I was like, okay, you can tell people are now starting to turn their attention.
So, why?
I just think in the end, it's people will still go to the big games. But
it's funny, though. Once upon a time.
I know. It's just,
once upon
people's
a time,
habits have changed.
Once upon a time, you'd get 17,000 for the big games.
I mean, remember when Cal was upset about not getting the rafters full.
Once upon a time, you'd get 17,000 for the big games, and you'd get, okay, fine, 7,000 for the small games, or
sure,
8,000 for the small games. Now, shoot a cannon in there for these games. And by the way, most games are like this.
And I think the other problem is now every single game, even if it's on ESPN+, you can watch every single game from home. It's a midweek game. Kids are back in school. It's a lot easier to make the decision. I'm just going to watch it here.
How about the idea that, is it, if you say, which I agree, it's on TV, it's cold, their opponent stinks, not stinks, but whatever. It's on TV. It's on TV. It's cold.
It's not a name.
Their opponent is stinks. Penny's been here 7 years, and some of the, let's be honest, like, hopefully creating more momentum, but a lot of the momentum is gone, right? Certainly from the early days, right? Yeah. They don't know these players particularly. It's downtown. Parking's expensive. Concessions are expensive. Are those explanations or are those excuses?
I think they're excuses. Because
but they're also explanations. I think they're explanations.
Right.
Maybe downtown food expense, whatever. But I do think it's not an epic matchup, and it's easier to watch on your couch. That's those two things are the main things. Because what gets you, all those things are hurdles, right? The going downtown, the buying the concessions, the parking, the cold, all those things are the hurdles, okay? So what gets you over the hurdle to go? What gets you over the hurdle to go is if this is an event I want to be in attendance for, right? It's this is an event. There's all these things that are telling me I could stay home and watch it on the couch. What's the event what motivates me to go is because, oh my God, I got to be there for this.
Yep.
This is something
I have to
be there for. I want to be in the building, not because I will just blindly support my team. That's not how people really, I just want to be in the building because I want to be a part of it. And the real problem, I think, with Tiger basketball and football is almost none of the games they play hit that standard.
Yeah. But I guess when I kept saying that there are excuses, what I'm saying is I think when people do the parking's expensive, food's expensive, all those things are true. But I think those are the excuses. What it really comes down to is like, I don't need to go. I don't need to spend four hours.
Right.
But that's it's a cost benefit analysis.
Exactly right. And on the benefit side, the cost has always been a pain in the ass. It's always been inconvenient to go to games. It's 100%. Inconvenient to go to games. There's traffic. You have to park. You got to pay to park. Maybe the prices haven't been exactly as they are, or maybe
it's not always, like Tiger basketball tickets were cheap.
It's not easy. You don't just fall out of your bed and end up in. Even when it was the Mid-South Coliseum, it's always a pain to go to a game. It's always, just like it's always a pain to go to a live concert. It's always, like, it is a pain to go to events. It is an effort. And so the question is, in the cost-benefit analysis, what's the benefit? And that's where, I think particularly for the Tigers, this is less so for the Grizzlies, because the benefit is, if you're going to a Grizzlies game, the benefit is, my God, Ja Morant, live and in person. Right? Like there, the benefit is, and honestly, that because of the injuries last year is like, am I going to see him? That's the only element that's been entered there. But for the Grizzlies, the benefit is I get to watch maybe the most entertaining basketball player in the world. Right?
Yep.
It is. So, and then when they play a big game, that's even better. But the benefit, what Tiger football game did you have to be in the building here for this year?
None of them.
That's the answer.
The home games. But I also think that was a poor strategy made by Laird's
well, they watered down the home schedule, yep, because they knew it was going to be a smaller stadium. But anyway, so there was not a single must-be-in-the-building game played by Memphis football this year. And for Memphis basketball, you'll have Ole Miss. That will qualify.
Yeah.
Right?
And State.
Those two will qualify. But that's it.
Yeah. I'm struggling. How was the Missouri crowd? I felt like the Missouri crowd was okay.
Yeah. Obviously Clemson and Virginia on the road, right? Those two are on the road. By the way, those teams, Mississippi State just destroyed Pittsburgh last night.
We might have had... The ACC, we might be seeing
14-2. We might be seeing the SEC's vast resources.
So
and
I think
reputation
everyone keeps
the ACC.
Focusing on football with right. the rosters. I think where it could make its biggest display
is
and
basketball.
The quickest is basketball, because
14-2 in the SEC ACC challenge. Mississippi State 90-57 over Pitt.
I mean, in the second half, Pitt had like 25 points. Like I'm talking, they were on 25 points.
Mississippi State, by the way, is up to 10th in the net. Here's Memphis opponents that they will play coming up. Ole Miss destroyed Louisville the night before. They're 24th in the net. Clemson got a big win the night before. They're
yep.
15th in the net. And then they play Virginia as well. So there's some huge opportunities.
So I was actually, as we were
forward.
Talking about attendance, I was thinking about this. So I went and looked, and according to the Wikipedia page that announces attendance, do you know what the best attended home game was?
What are we talking about? What sport?
For football.
Oh, but the opener.
And I wonder if that's going to be true for basketball.
And there it's just like, I missed football.
Correct.
I'm going to go.
My team's back.
I'm going to go.
You talk about it. Like, in the end, the matchup on opening day was
North Alabama.
The matchup doesn't matter.
Because none of the matchups
correct.
Reach a level of I'm going to care about this matchup.
Correct. But what it is, hey, my team's back.
Yeah.
And
well, that
I
was
see my people.
Back.
The
but
football's back.
That pro shows you there's not a single matchup
right.
that was like, I got to watch this one.
Exactly.
They were all basically the equivalent of North Alabama.
Yes.
In terms of the reputation.
Yes.
I mean, I know North Alabama is different than a conference game, whatever, but in terms of the give a bleep meter,
absolutely.
They're all the same. And that's the challenge. All right, we got more to talk about. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We got Writer Than Right trivia after that. First, let me tell you, you can tackle the NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now, new customers, $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. Get a hunch in the middle of the game? You can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code to join today. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. And again, you get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Back in a moment is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're getting hitched, congratulations. This is a great time to get engaged. Romantic, beautiful, glorious time to be getting engaged. And at Robert Owen Jewelers, they are there to help you and have been for almost 5 decades. Kind of amazing that it was 46 years ago. I came down from New York City where they were doing wholesale work and whatnot and said, you know what? Let's dig in here. Let's be Memphians and let's help Memphians celebrate their finest occasions with stunning diamonds at better prices. And that's what they do at Robert Owen Jewelers. Howie and the group over there, just incredibly helpful. And they make it easy with their meant-to-be guarantee. Any diamond engagement ring that you buy, they offer a 365-day no-questions-asked return policy. That's how confident they are that you're going to absolutely love it. You can walk on in there with an idea or a photo. They can design it. And honestly, whether you're looking for a GIA, natural GIA-certified diamond or a brilliant lab-grown option, they have all of that. Plus, of course, the free spa service for life, the free ring sizing for life, 24 months deferred interest financing, or take up to 60 months to pay. It is Robert Owen Jewelers, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, or check them out at rijewelers.com. All right, Jeffrey, we have other things to get to. We got Chris Harrington again, straight up at 10 o'clock. Grizzlies have a game tonight. We're also going to play Righter Than Right Trivia in the second hour, where we're giving away
2 tickets to go see Drew and Ellie Holcomb's Neighborly Christmas, December the 18th at the Orpheum Theater. Also, we'll be giving away tickets to 901 Wrestling's first show of 2025. That will be on January the 5th.
All right, so the other news yesterday that broke was that the Memphis Tigers are going to be playing in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Have you ever been to a Scooters?
So I've not been to a Scooters.
There's a Scooters over there.
Kind of by Idlewild.
It's kind of on Midtown.
It's by Joe's Liquor.
And evidently, if you buy a coffee, I think it's, is it drive-through only?
I don't know if it's drive-through only, but most people do the drive-through.
And what they tell you is you place your order. I've never been myself. And then they say, hey, scoot around. And that's why it's Scooters. You scoot around, Jeffrey.
I see. I see what they did there.
Yeah, exactly. And so when the news broke that they're going to be playing West Virginia at the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl, there was generally a sense of, well, that's deflating. Didn't you perceive that in the land?
Yeah.
They're playing a West Virginia team that has lost 2 out of 3 and fired their head coach.
Yeah, I do think, though, if you're someone that's interested in just beating a P4 team,
I think
this is a great spot.
It's funny because there was, Tim Buckley. So Tim Buckley wrote a really interesting column about this because he got to the bottom of it. And I'd urge you to read it, the Daily Memphian. And I think that Tim went into this like, this is an outrage. You know, the 25th ranked team in the land has to play in the Frisco Scooters Bowl. And then what he discovered was this is where they wanted to play.
Yeah, most of the time, if you're someone like Memphis that's going to have to rebuild the roster quickly, like you want to play early.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things here. If you're not in the playoff, does it, like, is one bowl, like, with all due respect, this is terrible. They're all just meaningless bowls. Like whether you're in the Gasparilla Bowl or the Birmingham Bowl or the Frisco Bowl or the Hawaii Bowl or the Fenway Bowl, who the hell cares? Like is one, I guess one might be more prestigious than another, but not to the degree that it matters at all, right? Does it matter at all?
And it's not like Memphis was up for the Citrus Bowl.
Right. Or that's a different. If you're going to the Citrus, that would be different.
Like
right?
I understand some people want to go to like Florida and whatnot, but most of the projections that we're seeing was like either they were going to Birmingham.
Or even Boca, whatever. Like who cares? All of these bowls are meaningless bowls. With all due respect, they're meaningless bowls that I don't really differentiate. They're all whatever. Go to Independence, it doesn't matter. And so, yes, you're exactly what mattered to the team was they wanted to be done early.
Yep.
They wanted, and honestly, I totally, rebuilding the roster, but also they get to be home for Christmas.
Right.
You know, like if you're playing on January or December 28th, then you got to be in Frisco, Texas, which I had to look up. It's Dallas, basically.
Yeah,
suburban Dallas.
It's Jerry built us a nice. That's where the Star is, the training complex.
Yeah, and it's also
he built us a very beautiful Galleria. Once upon a time,
FC Dallas
of course,
plays in the stadium. It is a 20,000 seat soccer stadium, and so here's the point: they get it done early, and you know what else? They play a Power Four team. That probably isn't going to give an F.
I don't even know who their interim is.
Their interim is the OC, maybe. They don't have a head coach. Who knows which players are going to stick around? Like, if you want to be able to say that we have 11 wins after a season of 10 wins.
Chad Scott, you were correct. Nice job. Look at you.
Can't slip anything past me. Well, you can slip a lot past me. But
slip interim head coaches.
Interim OC, West Virginia head coaches can't slip past me.
Non-play calling OC.
Seems to me to make all the sense in the world. And it's not that hard to get to, right?
Yeah.
And it's Seth Hennigan's backyard.
It's drivable.
A little bit of a hometown.
We have multiple
home team
airlines that fly there.
It's drivable. Multiple. Yeah, exactly. And now they're about to redo the stadium, so who knows what kind of condition it's in, but it's probably perfectly nice. So I got no problems with it. In recruiting news yesterday, Jeffrey, the University of Memphis, I looked at the ESPN recruiting rankings, and they finished 48th. Now, again, high school recruiting rankings mean dramatically less than they once did because teams are built through the portal. Right?
Yeah, I'm curious to see.
But 48's pretty good for the University of Memphis.
Most of what I saw, because ESPN's not my favorite recruiting site, most of it was number one in the AAC, and they were usually around 60. Like on three, Rivals, 247, all kind of had the same thing.
So Memphis, ESPN had them at 48, which I thought was highly impressive. And obviously the signature is Antoine Hill. He's the quarterback. Very highly rated quarterback, but they got a couple of receivers, Raheem Hutchins and Xavier Johnson, who are both highly rated as well. More broadly speaking, looking at the rankings, this is the ESPN ranking. Again, you pick your favorite. Georgia's 1, Oregon's 2, Texas is 3, Alabama's 4, Ohio State is 5. Michigan jumps up, obviously. Bryce Underwood is a huge part of that, the quarterback that they flipped. Michigan jumps up to 6. Auburn, 7. LSU, 8. A&M, 9. Florida had a nice little rally there.
Much like their football team.
Much like their football team at 10. Tennessee at 11. Penn State, 12. USC, 13. Notre Dame, 14. Miami, 15. Ole Miss, 16. Georgia Tech, 17. Washington, 18. Oklahoma, 19. TCU, 20. Your thoughts on the recruiting rankings, how the recruiting played out, any of that?
7 of the composite poll, 24/7 sports, 7 of the top 10 were Tennessee, or were SEC. You also have 12 of the top 15, and 15, is that right? 15 of the 15 of the top 20? I mean, this is where this is all headed. Like, everywhere, this is a money thing. Like, they're all going to be at an SEC school, or they're going to be at Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan.
Michigan. It's wherever there's
20. We're moving to 20 teams.
That's kind of staggering. So some other interesting rankings, at least this is from the ESPN list, Jeffrey. Arkansas is at 27. Mississippi State's at 29. Florida State, 35. Is this Mike's last year, do you think, in this coming year? Obviously, the portal is going to tell the tale.
Yeah, but I mean, the real question will be is, like, what is the number he has to do? Like, well, there's two big questions. One, does Florida State find a way into a new league and get more revenue? That seems uncertain at best, and it feels like if they are going to a new league, they're not going to get a full share. So they're going to – the buyout still get, like, was it 60-something million? It's still probably 50-something million next year. So there's still going to be the buyout question. But then the real question is, like, what's the number they have to – number of wins they have right. to get to, because he's going to have another new quarterback. Like, we know that he's going to have another portal quarterback. And one year they had a lot of success in the portal. This year they had a lot of not success. And I presume it's going to be another portal class this year. How does that work out? The good thing is he's playing in the ACC.
The other good news is that there are quarterbacks available. there are quarterbacks available.
They will be expensive.
You've got Garrett Nussmeier is going to enter the portal, right? He's already in the portal. Or, Will, what did you say yesterday? He can't enter it yet. He's announced that he's entering the portal.
He's pre-portaling.
He's pre-portaling. Jackson Arnold yesterday is the Oklahoma quarterback who is entering the portal.
The new Miller Moss from USC.
And Miller Moss is entering the portal. It is just kind of unbelievable. You go somewhere, you play a year, you lose your gig, and you transfer. It is, and honestly, maybe it works better for quarterbacks than for anybody else. Because only one can play, really.
And right? There's always a demand.
It's and you could end up, and systems matter, right?
Sure.
OCs matter. Like, you can find the best fit for you. I don't, you know. Oklahoma might be like Oklahoma's bringing in the OC from Washington State, and so the thought is might be bringing in the quarterback John Mateer from Washington State as well. In other college football news yesterday, we had UCF inquiring about Lincoln Riley. Did you put any stock in that?
So the
to
thing
to replace Gus Malzahn.
The thing that I found interesting about that is, I think, let's be clear, Lincoln Riley's not leaving for UCF. There's like 100 million reasons that he's not doing
right.
that.
He is not Gus Malzahning his way out of USC in the way that Gus did go to
correct.
Florida State, because he's owed something.
Now, you know, I've been a longtime Lincoln Riley skeptic, truther.
Yes.
Whenever he was at Oklahoma, and he'd be like, yeah, listen, the Cowboys are calling. I never
believed
bought
it.
That. But he was at Oklahoma, and how do you get leverage when you're at a destination job? You have to create leverage.
Create demand.
It feels like that's what he's doing, but what I found interesting is
threatened by UCF.
But is this implicitly saying UCF's the best job available? Because they didn't leak it out that it's North Carolina, and I'm sure if
interesting,
you know what I mean.
Ryan Day says he's not going anywhere. He spoke because it was signing day yesterday, right? So you did the signing day thing.
Of course, he has 38 million reasons.
He also did say he acknowledged that the percentage was too high running it inside. That's clear. Now
okay,
you
so,
tell me.
So he does have eyeballs.
Now you tell me.
We were curious at first, but he does
said,
have eyeballs.
I have one of the best jobs in America, and he is not going anywhere. Brett Yormark, who of course is the commissioner of the Big 12, he's mad. He says, no way should a Group of Five champion be ranked above our champion. This is with the idea that Boise State is going to get the bye over whoever the Big 12 champion will be. What he said was, wins against Power 5 opponents should matter, which is just kind of hilarious, because it's basically saying, we play Power 4 schedules, therefore we should always be ranked higher than any Group of 5 team.
Yep.
Because all you do is, you have to just count he just count the wins against Power 4 teams, and we're going to have more of them because we play more of them, and so that's what should matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, listen, I don't think the bye makes sense for Boise either, but you know who else it wouldn't make sense for?
Arizona State.
It wouldn't make sense for any of them.
Well, like, they do have a real thing of, listen, we still have games to be played on Saturday that will affect seeding. But if I'm sitting there and I'm Oregon, I beat Penn State, and I'm the only undefeated FB or whatever, you know, power team, and all of a sudden I'm matched up with Ohio State and Tennessee, while the 4-5 is Arizona State, Penn State, or Arizona State, whatever, or Iowa State, whoever.
They're gonna
and then
that.
Boise's over there. Like, I'm sitting there going, like, what did I get the number one seed for?
We got Chris Harrington coming up next. I got to step out here for the second hour. We're also going to play Writer Than Right Trivia, fabulous prize, so you won't want to miss any of that. Before that, I will tell you, if you are looking for a new financial institution, try the one that Claire and I have signed up for, Leaders. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. All you have to do is pop on over there and you can find out more about them. Download the app. It's a credit union, and so they don't have corporate overlords to pay. They don't have dividends to worry about. Every single penny goes back into better technology, better service, better rates, all of that. You can, if you're looking for a mortgage, contact Leaders. If you're looking for a new car loan, contact Leaders. Or if you're just fed up with the nickel and diamond from your current financial institution, try Leaders. We walked into the one in Bartlett, opened an account there. They have one in Arlington as well. But again, you can just download their fabulous app and sign up that way. It is Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a minute is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.